Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And indeed, when God's word is in your veins, in your heart, it brings about a totally different meaning on this time side of life. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray that God has blessed you to have the right frame of mind as we look at the word of God. You know, Paul said in Acts chapter 17, I believe in verse number 28, is in him we live, we move, and we have our very being. And I don't know about you, when I stop and think about how good God has been, even amidst all the trials and tribulations I face, even amidst the mere sickness and even the physical pain that I may suffer myself, God is still good to me.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, somewhere down the line as God's people, that has to be the motivating factor in our lives. I don't know about you. I wake up every day just thanking him because I know it is him that has woken me up this morning. And so this morning, as we look at our lesson text taken out of Colossians chapter 2 and round about verses 4 through 8, Paul writes these words to the believer to encourage their hearts and to remind them, you stay on track. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It's difficult to stay on track in a world in which we live in, which is off the track.
Amen.
You know, matter of fact, I'm almost to the point to believe that our world is almost completely derailed.
Amen.
Whatever happened to the level of respect that we used to have for one another? Whatever happened to the level of respect that used to come within our families? You know, and more I look at the world and look at the word of God, sometimes I say, Lord, come quickly. Because Jesus said, when the Son of Man returned to the earth, will he find faith on the earth? And you know, and that's scary.
Yes.
But this morning, I want to give you a shout out, a shot in the arm, to encourage you in your Christian walk. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul would say these words. In verse number 4, he says, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Very important. Because Paul here says, as you have understood Jesus Christ, there are some things you have to do. And for those of us that are in Christ, we need to understand that we must walk worthy of the vocation wherein he has called us. Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse number 1, Paul says, walk worthy of a vocation in which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So Paul says, those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, we need to walk worthy because there's going to come a time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that is done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Verse number 11 of that text says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. And I know the terror of the Lord. I don't know about you. I know God killed 25,000 people in one day simply because they talked back to Moses. Boy, what a God we serve. But you know, God is an awesome God. He's a powerful God. He's a loving God. But the Hebrew writer said he's also a jealous God, that we should have no other gods before him. And so for those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we are in Christ Jesus. But for those of you that may not be in Christ Jesus, I just stopped by this morning to give you something to help you to get into Christ Jesus. Amen, walls. See, first and foremost, you got to ask yourself, Where am I at? Where you at this morning?
Right.
You know, there somebody made a song after that, huh? Where you at? Where you at this morning? And see, when you stop and ask yourself a question, where am I in Christ's scheme of redemption? If I'm outside of Christ, what do I need to do to get into it? I'm glad you asked me, because I got the message this morning. Galatians 26 and 27, Paul says we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, but as many of us that are baptized into Christ, guess what? We put him on. And so those of us who have put on Christ Jesus, the question is, are you walking worthy of the vocation wherein you have been called? Those of you that are outside of Christ, it is in the watery grave of baptism
that you and I can become part of the body of Christ. The Bible says you must first of all hear the word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you must believe that that book is the inspired word of God. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says one must repent of his sins. Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell your name, except you repent, you'll perish. The Bible says you must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men and I'll deny you before my Father. And all of that brings us unto salvation. Contrary to the popular belief, you are not saved until you enter the watery grave of baptism. That's what that text there say.
Yep.
1 Peter 3:21, there's an antitype that saves us now. Namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience to God. And as you have placed on Christ Jesus, Paul says, now it's time for you to get rooted in the word. Amen, Wolves. That's all right. I preached to myself this morning. Time for us to get rooted. And what roots us is our medication, is the meditation. Medication.
Medication.
Some of y'all on medication this morning. It's the meditation of the word of God.
Amen.
Matter of fact, God's word is a pill.
Yes, it is.
Amen. It's also a hammer.
That's right.
It'll either drive you one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But the Bible teaches that we must be rooted in the word of God. Colossians 2 and round about verse 7, Paul says, be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, what roots us is the word of God, is our diligence in the word of God. That's why Paul says, study. To show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly divided the truth. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be
perfect.
Anybody here perfect?
Yeah.
Every hand in
here. Yeah.
Mature.
Yeah.
Anybody here mature?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't mature? That the man of God might be perfect,
thoroughly furnished.
And I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. Because, see, mature people, perfect people, work. Don't miss that. Because if I am mature in the body of Christ, what am I doing?
Working.
Oh, sister, help me out. Psalms, Division 1:1-6. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that light, he what? He roots himself. How do I root myself? Day and night, I'm studying, I'm meditating on the word of God. Why? Because the storms are coming. Amen.
Amen.
Satan is out to destroy you. And the only way he will not mess with you is if you root yourself in the word of God. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above,
Amen.
Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind where?
Things above.
And not where? On things of the earth. Why? Because if you're rooted in the word, Satan doesn't stand a chance. That text right here is powerful. Keep yourself free. Free. How many of y'all free? Keep yourself free from the love of money. Ain't nothing wrong with the money.
No.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's what you love more than God. Keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with such things as you have. Now, don't misunderstand that. Get a job. Take care of your family.
Right.
Get a job. Support yourself. It didn't say that.
No.
It says, don't get wrapped up in your money. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence, we say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. See, those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we ought to be rooted to the point to where when it's time to serve God, no question within our mind. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, and then most of us will go to 25 because we know that by heart, right?
Yep.
Huh?
Yes.
What does it say? Uh-huh, that's what I thought. Forsake not the assembly. But that's not where I want to go this morning. I want to go to verse 23. Because somewhere down the line, we must consider one another. We must stimulate one another. We must remind one another why we're in this thing.
That's right.
I'm not in it because I have nothing better to do. Because
nope.
I could show stayed at home and been in the garage this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Sipping on something.
Amen.
Don't be looking at me funny because you know y'all be sipping too. But church, it ain't about that. Look at verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. Paul, the Hebrew writer here, would write these words to encourage us, to remind us. Because when you get to 25, you should already be encouraged enough. Look at what he says. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise.
Amen.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. See, my job is to stimulate you to get out here and get busy. Yes, I can sit here all day long and beat you with the hammer. Well, what good is that going to do? I'd rather give you a little honey with your turpentine just to give you straight out turpentine. And somewhere down the line, church, that's what we have to do. We have to learn to move beyond this old stuff that has hindered us.
Right.
Paul said to the church at Galatia, I believe it's chapter 6, you did run well, but who hindered you that you should not obey the gospel? What hinders us on this time side of life? Boy, I bet you if I walked through every one of us, you'd probably pull out a hand. You see these napkins?
Yeah.
That's just like excuses. How many of y'all got a bunch of these in your pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Somewhere down the line, no excuses. Somewhere down the line, we understand we've been saved for the purpose to save someone else. Someone tomorrow is looking for you to give them some words to encourage them. Do you not know somebody's on the edge right now?
Yes.
And who do they need? They need Jesus. Yes. How are they going to get him? They're going to get him through you and I as we live our lives for him. The Hebrew writer says, let us stimulate and provoke one another unto good works. And so when you're rooted in Christ Jesus, you can't help yourself. That's right. You have good works, and those good works are evidenced by the things you say and do right in your everyday life.
Right.
Not only once you're rooted and grounded in the truth, guess what? You know what God requires.
Amen.
You keep his commandments, right?
Right.
What is his commandments? Well, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you is that you what?
Love
one another. Well, what if they mess with me? That you love one another. What if I don't like them? That you love one another. Well, what if they ain't the same as I am? That you love one another. See, God does give us conditions like we have. You know how we have conditions.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be nice to you if.
Right.
You know how we are.
Right.
You know what? You hit me on my big toe, I'm going to get you.
Yep.
Do we really turn the other cheek? No. I'll knock you out. Somewhere down the line, church, we get beyond that. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine how Jesus had to feel when he hung on that cross? When all of the brethren decided, we're going to get our hats.
Yeah.
They're going to kill him. You next. I could just see them like little roaches. You know, when you turn the light on,
yeah,
hung him on that tree. Who was there?
The women.
Lord have mercy. Thank God for women. Don't miss that, brother. The Bible said he hung between two twilights. Where were the brethren? They were afraid. They were shed in. And Jesus says, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. First day of the week, roll around Acts, John chapter 20, and verse number 1. At the tomb. Who's at the tomb? The women. Where is the brethren? Hid in the house. New commandment. I don't know how I got there, but that didn't come. A new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another
as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, Jesus said, that he would lay down his life for his friend. And then Jesus says, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. In Colossians chapter 2 and round about verse number 6, as I make this final point, the Bible says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, do what? Walk in him. It didn't say sit. It didn't say show up.
No.
It didn't say get up.
No.
As you therefore have received him, so what? Walk you in him. How do I walk in Christ Jesus? Then my life must be in harmony with what he commands. In First Peter chapter 5 and round about verse number 6, I want to show you how you can walk in the Lord Jesus. First and foremost, you got to understand how to walk. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23. Oh Lord, I know it's not in man to walketh to direct his own footsteps. So and if you're going to walk in Christ Jesus, you're going to have to walk the way he requires us. First and foremost, it requires you to trust him. Amen. I'm learning to trust God regardless of what goes on. And you know something about God? He shows up when you don't think nobody else will. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. What will he do? He will direct your path. And I'm learning that if you let go and let God direct your path, more life will be a whole lot better than what it is. See, I know you sitting here. Some of y'all got some problems.
Amen.
How do I know better? Oh, I got problems. But what makes the difference is my problems don't matter. Because I'm right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Paul says, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, I'm not worried about it, Paul says. Why? I got a house
not made
with hands, eternal in the heavens. Somewhere down the line, you got to see heaven.
Amen.
You know, maybe because I done got older. Some of y'all sitting there, y'all, you ain't old, you still a baby. Okay, thank you. Thank you. But somewhere down the line, you got to see that one day you're going to leave here. And when you stand before him, and he pulls out your record. You know how we shuck and jive one another, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we look good on the outside, don't we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said something about that too. Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you look good. You're like whitewashed sepulchres.
Yeah.
Appear on the outside to be white, but inside, dead men bones. So you can appear to be one thing, but when it really boils down to it, how will you stand before him? This might be my last sermon, because I don't know if he's going to call me. But if he's going to call me, I'm going to make sure that I preach the gospel. Did I preach
right,
this morning?
Yeah.
I preached
yeah,
the gospel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I tell you what to do?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm innocent of your blood.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Because that's exactly what Paul told the elders in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, I want to call you to record this day. Ephesians chapter 6. That's not it. It's in Acts. Acts chapter 28 and round about verse 26. It's somewhere now. I'll find it. He says, I call you to record this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. And so Paul says, I'm innocent. And so I want you to know this morning that if you're lost, you're sure not going to be able to blame this preacher. You're going to be lost because you neglect to do what God requires you. But I want to encourage your heart this morning and remind you that you do not have to be lost, because God stands at the point of helping you to overcome. See, in Christ Jesus, church, we have freedom. And that freedom is to help us to overcome many of the obstacles that we might face in our everyday life. Chapter 20 and verse number 26, okay? I just want to make sure that I was on the right page.
Yeah.
But church, I want to encourage you this morning. As this year continues to unfold, and it's hard to believe, it's almost a half a year,
wow.
And it's gone. How will you spend the remaining? Those of us that are in Christ, God respects you to be the best you can be. You know where the army stole that slogan for?
It's solely from the word. Be all you can be. What God wants you to be?
All you can be.
And is he looking for a few? Is he looking for a few good men? Yes, he is. Church, I want to encourage you and remind you, you're in the best thing on the face of the earth. There's no other club like the club Jesus. And there's no other God that'll do you like God will do you. If you just remain steadfast, if you remain unmovable, if you remain continuous in his word. So in closing, I want to draw your attention to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. After Paul reminds the believer to be rooted, grounded, built up in the faith that is in Christ Jesus, Paul reminds the believer, don't get caught up. Verse number 8, he says, beware, lest any man should spoil you, or any man should trick you, or any man might deceive you. So Paul says, beware, lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. You might want to underline that. Because in Christ Jesus, I got everything I need. Amen. That's why you ought to be the most happiest.
Amen.
The most motivated.
Amen.
The most enthused person on the face of the earth. Because in Christ, Paul says, we are complete. And I don't know about you, when you say you got something complete, you're not lacking anything. Hope and pray this morning I've said something to encourage your heart, church. Somewhere down the line, I believe as God's people, we have to change the mindset that we have. And that mindset is that if Christ be for us, can't nothing stop us.
No.
Can't nobody hinder us. But I'm learning in order for Christ to really be for us, we got to do what he commands. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12, Paul says, work out your soul salvation with fear and in trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you might be blameless, the sons of God that shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Do you think some people need to shine?
Yes.
You know what? We're the light. But if our light is dim, how are we going to show folk the way to Christ? I want to encourage you this morning, members of the body of Christ, you've fallen short, just repent. Get back on the right track. It's just that simple. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to think about your soul salvation. Because one day he's coming.
Amen.
One day he's coming. And Peter said, judgment is going to begin right here at the house of God. And if the righteous scarcely make it. You know, I ain't the smartest in the world, but you know, it's something about history. You know, I used to hate history. Sidebar. I used to hate history. Don't tell me, I don't want to hear that. But since I've been studying the word, and every time I hear that judgment's going to begin with us, and if the righteous scarcely make it, I missed a couple of y'all? Yeah, I thought you got it. If the righteous scarcely make it, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? I want to make sure that my calling is an election sheet. But I need you to help me. That's right. I need you to help me stay on the right track like you need me to help you to stay on the right track. And you know something? When we knit ourselves together, Satan has a fit and he knows he can't hinder the body of Christ. If Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that's me.
Amen.
Church, we ought to be excited. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, I've given you God's plan to redeem you. The question is, are you ready to be redeemed? If you stand in need, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.